WBUR Podcasts, Boston.
I'm Darryl C. Murphy, and you're listening to The Comic. Boston Globe reporter Spencer Buell, welcome to The Comic.
Thanks for having me.
So you're here because recently you wrote a story about ShotSpotter, and that's a gunshot detection device which uses sensors to detect bang sounds that could be gunfire. Then they send the coordinates of where the sound originated to police departments, which can then send officers to investigate. Now, there's been some controversy around this system, and one issue in particular is the supposed locations of these devices in Somerville. So tell us more about ShotSpotter and how it works.
Right, so ShotSpotter is it's a network of devices. So these sensors that are located, they're placed around a city in such a way that, as you said, when a loud sound that might be a gunshot goes off, it triggers these devices, and then it's able to triangulate the location where it came from. And so the way that police want to use this, and they've been using this in some cities for as long as about 20 years now, they use this to then send officers to investigate, and it helps them get to the scene of gun violence, and so that they're able to investigate it. Because the problem with gun violence often is that after a gun goes off, people flee pretty quickly. So the idea behind this program, and this is a company that offers them called Sound Thinking, they offer these ShotSpotter devices to police departments. The idea is that, well, we can get you there quicker than you would otherwise.
Can these devices record any other sounds, or are they just wired to activate when there's a bang?
So the way that they work now is when they hear a loud bang that, again, that fits in the register where it could be a gunshot, that's when they are triggered.
Okay.
But the thing about really loud bangs is that there's a lot of things that make really loud bangs.
Right.
Fireworks make loud bangs. Construction equipment makes loud bangs. Cars, when they backfire, make loud bangs.
Right.
So it's really when these sounds come in, the devices are supposed to differentiate between gunshots and other sounds. And one thing that critics have pointed out is that they often get it wrong.
Mm.
So they send police rushing to the scene to investigate bangs that are not gunshots.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now, your story focuses on ShotSpotter in Somerville. Where else is this system used in the state?
Right. So it's used in a number of places. It's used in Somerville and Cambridge. It's in Boston. It came to Boston first.
Mm-hmm.
It's also in Worcester, Springfield. There are some other cities in the South Shore that use it. It's in 150 places nationwide, I should mention. So it is all over. ShotSpotter is now located. Yeah.
One of the issues at the core of your story is where in these cities and towns these devices are placed, right? Can you talk about that?
There have been longstanding concerns and suspicions that the ShotSpotter devices were being deployed disproportionately in communities of color, lower income neighborhoods. And one of the things that happened this year that really got a lot of people's attention is that there was some data that was leaked through Wired magazine. This data showed the coverage areas for ShotSpotter devices, where they were listening essentially in neighborhoods. And this information had not been out publicly because the company that makes them, they keep it secret where the devices are located. So it was kind of up to people to speculate, well, this is where I suspect the ShotSpotter devices are. But when the Wired data came out, people started analyzing it and noticed that the numbers were off the charts. I mean, the ShotSpotter devices were disproportionately in communities of color, just as they had suspected. So now, mm-hmm, I think it's important, and I want to mention the company's response to this, because I asked them about it. They said that they would reject the idea that they are putting sensors in places just because they are homes to communities of color. What they would say is that they are following the direction of police, and the police are pointing them toward areas where gun violence is already prevalent. So they are just following the data, not the demographics.
Mm-hmm.
But again, what civil liberties groups would say is that regardless of how this has come about, people who live in these communities are at more risk than people who live in other communities of having, again, those tense or potentially dangerous run-ins with police who come rushing in to investigate, you know, people who might have nothing to do with whether it was a gunshot or not.
Just how effective are these devices at leading to arrests?
Well, Daryl, it depends who you ask. If you ask the company, they will point to a stellar record. They say that they are 97% accurate. So now that figure relies, the company's internal figure relies on feedback from police. So what they would say is when they hear a loud bang, they send that to police, and police only 3% of the time are coming back and saying, there was no gunshot here, you got it wrong. Now, what researchers have found when they've looked into this is tells a pretty different story. So for example, there was one group that looked into how ShotSpotter devices were being used in Chicago and found that 89% of the time when a ShotSpotter alert went off, it ended up being what they called dead-end deployments. So police went to go investigate. They couldn't find any evidence that anyone had shot a gun despite there being a ShotSpotter alert.
Hmm.
Now, again, this is also interesting. So I asked the company about this. I said, well, what about these reports that say 89% of the time it's not leading to any evidence of gun violence? What they'll tell you is that it can be very hard, even when you have an alert of a gunshot, even if you have really good evidence that a gun went off, to substantiate evidence of gun crime once you get there. After a gun goes off, unless there's a gunshot victim dying in the street, everybody's gone. Finding evidence of bullet shells, bullet casings on, you know, a city block in the middle of the night, it's pretty difficult to do. So often they don't find them. And if they don't find any evidence of a crime, then police just move on. They're not spending all night there looking just because one sensor went off.
So is it really useful then?
That is the question. Cities, now that they're seeing some of this research and some of these other developments this year, they're taking a closer look. That's happening in Somerville. It's now happening in Boston. And it happened in a major way in Chicago this year, which was a major client of the ShotSpotter company SoundThinking. This year, the new mayor of Chicago has said that they are not going to use ShotSpotter anymore. That's like a multi-million dollar contract. Once Chicago walked away from using these devices, a lot of people were taking a second look, and that's happening across the country.
All right, Spencer, right here, I want to take a break. But when we get back, I want to hear about the community response to all of this. So we'll be right back.
Politics has never been stranger or more online, which is why the politics team at Wired is making a new show, Wired Politics Lab. It's all about how to navigate the endless stream of news and information and what to look out for. Each week on the show, we'll dig into far-right platforms, AI chatbots, influencer campaigns, and so much more. Wired Politics Lab launches Thursday, April 11th. Follow the show wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back with Boston Globe reporter Spencer Buell. So, Spencer, we're here talking about your story, which is about ShotSpotter and its use in the city of Somerville. I'm very curious to know how the community is responding to all of this.
So Somerville City Councilor Willie Burnley Jr., he's the one who has called for a new hearing on ShotSpotter to sort of discuss, to look into some of these issues and see if this is a technology that the city wants to continue using. He said that people just kind of don't know that ShotSpotter is even there. I mean, unless you pay attention, unless you see it mentioned in news reports, the fact that, you know, police responded to a ShotSpotter alert and ended up finding whatever they found there, you kind of wouldn't notice. And also, if you went around your neighborhood looking for ShotSpotter devices, you are not likely to find them for two reasons. So the one is the one that I mentioned already, which is that the company does not disclose the locations of the sensors. I should say not even to local officials or to the police. We are surrounded by surveillance technology all over the place. I mean, we've got cameras. There's also non-surveillance electronics that are up on every light pole and streetlight these days. You know, there's very little indication that these microphones are listening in every day, and yet they are. So I think part of what Willie Burnley Jr. and others, what they really want to do is they want to start this conversation so that people, you know, at the very least, they should know that this is going on. And a lot of people just don't.
Why is it important to address the fact that these sensors are mostly in neighborhoods where the residents are predominantly people of color and low income?
When you have surveillance technology like this, it puts people in those communities. This is what the civil liberties groups will tell you. It puts them at risk of over-policing.
Mm-hmm.
Innocent people being searched for crimes they didn't commit because they happened to be on a city block that they that one of these sensors went off in. When police are coming into this situation, they're coming in anticipating that there could be, you know, an active shooter in this area. It's a very serious allegation, I guess, that you could say that these devices are making in real time, and police have to respond to them in real time. And that can make things quite dangerous. And if you live in a neighborhood that does not have ShotSpotter devices, you know, that's a risk that you don't face walking around your neighborhood day to day.
Now, a Somerville city councilor called for a hearing to discuss the city's use of ShotSpotter. Do you have an idea of what exactly they plan to discuss?
Well, from what I hear, they just want to lay it all out on the table. It's like, you know, there is a lot of secrecy that surrounds this technology. They think that it should be talked about out in the open. They want residents to have an opportunity to ask questions about it, to learn about it in many cases for the first time. You know, and I actually, when I talked to the company about this and I said that there were going to be some hearings in Massachusetts about it, they said, look, you know, we're an open book. Invite us. We'll come talk at your hearing. So they've offered to do that.
Well, Spencer, thank you for your reporting. What will you be looking out for moving forward?
All that we know is coming up now is a discussion about ShotSpotter. You know, this has happened not long ago in 2018 in Fall River. Fall River decided not to use ShotSpotter technology too. I think they'd done a pilot program and it just didn't work out for a number of reasons. They just determined it wasn't worth the cost. So it's happened locally here as well. Now, these cities may look at this and get the data and have a full-on public discussion about it and just decide they want to keep using ShotSpotter, or they may decide to turn them off. So I'm very interested to see where that goes.
Understood. Spencer, thank you so much for this story. It is very interesting. I appreciate you taking the time to come through and talk to us about it. Thank you so much for this.
Anytime. Happy to do it.
That's Boston Globe reporter Spencer Buell. And that's our show for today. Thank you so much for listening to The Common. If you like what you're hearing, please go to wherever you listen to podcasts, especially Apple or Spotify. Rate and review us. Let us know how you're liking the show. And thank you to everybody who's done it. I'm Daryl C. Murphy, and I will talk to you tomorrow.